Amen. Welcome to River of Hope this morning. It is our honor, our pleasure to be able to be here with you to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. I want to thank you all for coming out today. It really is a blessing to have you here with us. We are going to, I'm going to have Amanda come up and help us with announcements this morning as we take up our tithe and offering. One quick note before we take up the offering, if you did utilize the debit or credit card reader out by the coffee bar for your tithes, I would ask that you would write your name and that you utilize that for your offering. That way we can keep track of it until we can find the right system for logging all that information to make sure you get your credit for taxes at the end of the year. So please take a moment to do that. You will also see on the, I should have maybe preceded that statement with this. You'll have an envelope in the seat back pocket in the chair in front of you. You can utilize that for your tithes and offerings, or a note for the preceding announcement. Let's bow our heads this morning and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we can just bring ourselves before you and to put ourselves in back underneath of you, Lord, to put you in the proper perspective this morning as we lift your name on high and worship you. Father, I ask that you would take this tithe that we are giving back to you, that you, Lord, would receive it, that you would bless it, Lord, as we give back to you from what you have blessed us with. We thank you, Father, in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. If this is your first time visiting us this morning, we just want to give you a warm welcome and thank you for coming to check us out and worship with us this morning. I just have a few announcements that I wanted to share. Today at 2 o'clock, we have a baby shower for Nate and Amy, if you want to raise your hands. And so everybody is invited to come in and join in on the fun today after church, and we're excited about that. Next week, we have our Hope 101 class starting up, and I actually brought the sign-up sheet in here with me, and I thought I would just pass it around so everybody had a chance to look at it. We are going to be offering this Hope 101 course again, and basically what that is it's a two-week course, typically a four-week, but we're making it into a two-week course. So you can stay after church the next two Sundays. We're even going to feed you lunch, and you get to hear more about River of Hope and what we are about, what we believe, our vision. There's some really cool things in that whole class, too, that you're going to discover about yourself and personality stuff and giftings and all sorts of stuff. So if you are interested in that, we would love to have you sign up for that class. And Pastor Jesse's going to be heading that up the next 2 weeks. So just sign that on the sheet that's going around if you're interested, or you can talk to myself or Pastor Jesse today. And then the last thing I just wanted to share really quick is, did everybody enjoy their coffee this morning? Yeah? All right, good. I have two, and it's hard to believe that our coffee bar has been running almost 2 years already in May. Isn't that crazy? It's a really awesome dream that came to pass. This was something when Pastor Jesse and I came into this building, I don't know, would that be 5 years ago now? One of the first things we walked in this building is there needs to be a coffee bar right there with donuts and top-notch coffee and espresso beverages, and it's gonna help missions. That was like one of the first things that we felt like God was giving us, and we're really excited because we've gotten that whole coffee bar done, but there's one thing that we would love to have in there to just finish up that look, and that is some really cool high-top tables and chairs. And so, as you can see on the screen, I did happen to find some here in town so we could support a local business. And there's two different heights of tables that we want to get. There's a shorter pub table that we want to get four chairs around, and then a few of the higher top ones that we can stand around or sit by. And so we are looking for people that want to sponsor and help finish out that dream and that vision and get some of those tables in there so we have a place as we're coming in and just fellowshipping in the morning, that we can just hang out together, sit at the table. You can invite somebody for coffee here on Sunday morning at 10 before a service. Sit down, have a good talk. Also, that it could be used when we kick off life groups, that area right by the TV under that drop-down ceiling, we could have as a life group area with those tables too. So I think they'll be utilized in a lot of awesome ways. So if you are interested in helping us with this, we are looking to get 5 pub tables at $179 each, and then 14 to 16 stools at $40 each. And this is a sale that's going on, and we're hoping to do this in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And so we just wanted to put it out there and see if anybody's interested or wants to pray on it, to let us know. And what I think we'll have you do is, if you are interested in sponsoring a table or some stools, if you could write on the envelope that's behind or in front of you, the chair. I'm not used to saying this. The envelope's in front of you in the back of the chairs. You could just write in there, and you could keep it anonymous if you want. That's why I kind of think I like this idea better. Just writing on an envelope and just saying, hey, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I will sponsor one of the tables, or I'll sponsor 2 chairs. And that way we kind of see what we know is coming in. So, and feel free to pray on that. If you want to wait a week and pray on it and see what God is leading you to do, and that would be great too. But that's what they look like, and that's what we're hoping to do in the next few weeks. So I just wanted to share on that.
Well, this morning we are going to jump into Romans and go through the book of Romans over the next weeks. I don't know how long it's going to take. It could be a fun ride, but we are going to work our way through Romans just as we typically do with all of our Bible passages. The last 3 weeks we went through the book of Titus. If you missed any of those services, I would encourage you to log on to our website, www.riveroftheoneonline.com. Check out the podcast. You can listen back to not only the last series, but all the way through, continuing on way previous to those. You can catch up on all sorts of things that we have taught on here at River of Hope. One thing about Titus we went through, I really hope that you were challenged in one way or another through the study of Titus. Maybe it was a personal challenge to strive to be something more than you were, like we taught about last week, to not give up hope that God might have something bigger in his plan for your life than what you are currently thinking is possible, and to live that way, to live in the way that maybe God does have something for me, and I want to make sure that I am able to serve him to the best of my abilities. We encouraged building relationships with the elders in our church. Those around us who are older than us, reach out, connect with them, learn from them, glean wisdom from them. And that was our first week. So take, if you missed any of those messages, please log on and review, go back and listen to those. We're going to jump into Romans chapter 1. We'll be going through verse 17 today. So we're not going to tackle all of Romans chapter 1 in one day, but let's pray before we read the word this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we can just be here together. I pray and ask that your spirit would move this morning through our minds, through our hearts, as we hear your word. I pray and ask that you, Holy Spirit, would speak through me, that nothing would come from my mouth that is against what you would speak. We just ask that you would lead this discussion and guide our thoughts and our words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3, the good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. And you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. I am writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Verse 8, let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night, I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart, by spreading the good news about his Son. One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. For I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see spiritual fruit, just as I have seen among other Gentiles. For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and uneducated alike. So I am eager to come to you in Rome, too, to preach the good news. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jews first, and also the Gentiles. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. It's always interesting when you jump into the books in the Bible that are written by Paul. He takes a nice chunk of his passages to explain who he is, what he's writing about, and who he's writing to. And so that's pretty much the first six or seven verses of Romans chapter 1. Right there is Paul introducing himself, claiming, making sure that people understand that he is a servant of God, and he is coming and writing to them. One thing we need to understand is Paul has not yet been to Rome, who he is writing to in Romans. So he is writing to a group of people he's never met, but he's heard of them. He's heard of about them and about their faith. So we're going to be studying that a little bit this morning. Verse 2, God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. We could go through and list all of the Old Testament prophecies that are God's prophets, God's chosen leaders who are communicating the word of God to his people, who are calling out and outlining the process of Jesus coming to earth. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3, the good news is about his Son being Jesus. We know and we understand this. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, which is another answer, completion of prophecy from the Old Testament. He was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them. He has given us not only the authority, but the privilege. Do you catch that? The privilege. We are blessed to be able to know and understand the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the salvation of Jesus Christ. The fact that we have had our eyes opened and understand that gives us a privilege, something that we should feel obligated to be sharing with those around us. but he has given us not only the privilege, but an authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. Paul is talking to the Romans right now, and he's saying, you need to go out to your people. You need to tell them what God has done for you in your life. You need to use the authority that I've given you through salvation to share the gospel with the Gentiles. The Gentiles, just to kind of bring you up to speed, most of you, I would assume, understand this idea. The Gentiles are anyone that is not in the Jewish family line, not from Israel. Gentiles being outside of God's chosen people is originally documented in Scripture. Basically, there's a really good chance that all of us in this room would be classified as a Gentile. I can't say that with, 100% confidence, because I don't know you and I don't know your family lineage and all of that fun stuff. But you need to understand that Paul is writing to Rome filled with people just like you and me. So God has given us authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for us, so that they will believe and obey him. And when that happens, that brings glory to the name of God. He goes on to say that you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. I'm writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. Verse 8, jumping ahead a little bit this morning. Let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. As I read that verse, I wish that that were true about each and every one of us. That our faith would be so well-rooted, so well-established, and so well-utilized that it would be known around the world. This is not, maybe it is a challenge to each and every one of us this morning, that our faith needs to increase, that we need to be working as God gives us gifts and skills and abilities through his giftings in faith that he is going to work on our behalf. Verse 9, God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart by spreading the good news about his son. Paul is communicating once again to these people that he longs to be there with him, with them. He wants to be there to encourage them. As we read down in verse 12, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. I'm going to segue off of the text just for a minute. There's something amazing about having people that you can be encouraged by. Typically, those are friends. Those are the people that we are close to. Now, along that line of thought, if we have friends that encourage us in our faith and we can encourage them, and you're working side by side and you're building each other up, you're getting stronger in your faith, that's amazing, that's powerful. The point of that is that we need that. We need people around us who will encourage us, who will lift us up. We need the right friends. I'm gonna read from a few verses in Proverbs this morning. Proverbs 18, verse 24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. Proverbs 22, 24 through 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. There is a lot of wisdom coming in the book of Proverbs, talking about who you associate with, who your friends are, and who you need to be with. This morning, I really want to encourage you to evaluate the relationships that you have. Now, when I say that, I'm not asking you to go out and cut ties with all of your friends who are not of faith. I'm not asking you that at all. That's counterproductive to the faith working in our life. What I'm asking or suggesting is that the people we are spending most of our time with, the people that we are investing deepest in relationship with, are people of like faith. People just like Paul said, I want to come to encourage you, but also to be encouraged by your faith. If you think of Jesus and the relationships that he had while on earth, you know and understand that he spent most of his time with 12 men. When he was teaching, when he was doing his work, he was spending most of his time with just 12 men. But among those relationships, he was also very intentional about going outside of those 12 men and reaching out to sinners and sharing his truth with them. See, if we're looking at the example given by Jesus, he was investing in people that he trusted, that were close to him, that he was teaching and instructing and influencing. Yet he would go outside of those relationships and use that same influence, that same authority, but given towards people who were living contrary to what his life stood for. You need to understand, Jesus was the influencer. If you are one who wants to maintain your friendships with those who are outside of faith and who are living outside of God's will, and they're people that kind of pull at you and they tug you and they want you to go and to kind of do things that are contrary to what you believe because of your faith in Jesus. If you cannot put yourself in the place of being an influencer instead of being influenced, you need to get out of that. We could say the same about many different type of sins and things that we have addictions to, if we know that we cannot control our own actions, being around something that we have had an addiction to, what's our best option to make sure that we don't become ensnared by that addiction? So you don't go by it. You don't stay in that area. You do not present that as an option. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. This kind of ties in with the last series that we did through Titus and the encouragement to meet with the people that are older than you, to have relationships with those that have more life experience than you. Their wisdom is much greater than ours. What you can learn from their life, from their experience, from their faith is much greater than you can learn from those who are of your generation. Walk with the wise and become wise. Don't disregard relationships with those older than you. They are vital, not only to the health of the body of Christ, but also to your own personal health. Your own personal relationship with Christ will be edified. It will be grown. You will grow in wisdom. You will grow in understanding. Walk with the wise and become wise. Romans 1, verse 12, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. I asked for permission this morning from a couple of the ladies in the church who have a really cool relationship outside of this building. And Kathy and Ember and Lynette, I know they all get together and they'll go running and just share life outside of this building. The more that you can grow in relationship with people that you have something in common with, the more that you can continue to foster a proper foundation for your own faith. And the more relationships you have that are close, people that you can trust and you can reach out to, you can have a much easier time with accountability, which is very important to your faith. It's very important to have somebody that you can be encouraged by, that can lift you up, that can call you out if there's a problem. To some degree, our advisory team has some of that same relationship, where it's not just about meeting and leading this church. It's about sharing life together. We try to be intentional about getting together and just doing things that build friendship and build relationship, not just leadership. We need people in our lives that can encourage us and that we can encourage. Continuing on in Romans chapter 1. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see spiritual fruit, just as I have seen among other Gentiles. For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and uneducated alike. So I am eager to come to you in Rome too, to preach the good news. You can almost feel Paul's heart through those passages. That he literally longs to be there in that place to share the gospel with those around them. There's such a passion in Paul in the way he serves God, that he communicates through all of his letters to the various churches and leaders that he writes to. He says he's eager to come to Rome to preach the good news. To preach the good news. Verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile." This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. It is accomplished from start to finish by faith. I was reading I was reading an article last night talking about the validity of the Bible and the reliability of the Word of God as we see it in Scriptures. And one of the interesting things, I'm not going to run through the whole thing this morning, one of the interesting things that was pointed out is what's different about the religion of Christianity versus other religions. What's different is that the Bible gives us prophetic words that are verifiable. So you have past writings that verified future events, which now might be passed to us, but we can see that they came true. The Bible gives us countless descriptions of physical and geographical places and locations where scientists and archaeologists have unearthed many things that the Bible led them to. Another interesting thought that I got out of that article, the Bible is the only book where we see documented a problem, which is our fall in Eden. Right? We understand that. We know that when Adam and Eve had their fall, and that all is in our genealogy, we fell from God's graces because of that sin. That sin is in our lives. It's underlying everything within us. The Bible doesn't tell us what we need to do to be saved. It doesn't give us a list of actions, a list of a checklist of you need to do this and do that and that and that and then you're good. Like many other religions, that's what it does. Their books will tell you, okay, well, if you do this, if you do this at that time, I think you understand where I'm going. The Bible, what it does is it tells us, you screwed up. God saw it and he fixed it. The relationship between us and God was broken in Eden. Right? We were separated from God because of that sin which is in each and every one of us. Without exception. But instead of God prescribing a list of things we needed to achieve to achieve holiness on our own, he came down himself as Jesus Christ. Other religions don't give you that. They give you a list of how you can fix it yourself, whereas the Bible says, I've already fixed it, just receive it. We need to understand, no matter where we're at in our faith journey, that we can trust in the Word of God. We can trust in the Word of God. "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes." That is the good news. It will save everyone who believes. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. Once again, the difference between other religions and Christianity is we're being asked to believe that Jesus lived, died, and was resurrected. And that that resurrection defeats the power of sin and death and hell over each and every one of us. It is through faith that a righteous person has life. It is through faith that a righteous person has life. As we continue to work through Romans, we'll be talking about what that faith will look like in us. We'll be talking about how each and every one of us will be able to know that that faith is working in us. We'll be talking about the changes that we'll see, talking about repentance. I'm going to close this morning with a word of prayer before we go about our day. Let's talk with God. Father, I thank you. I thank you for Paul's letter to Rome, to the Romans, that we can read this morning. I thank you for the heart and the passion that we see through your disciple as he is writing, as he is communicating with your church. Lord, I thank you for the truth that we can find in your word, knowing that it is not just for that time. It is not just for those people, Lord, but it is for each and every one of us. As we continue to live out our lives this side of heaven, we know that your truth is in these words. We know that you can be found in your holy word. Father, I thank you for this challenge. I thank you for this word that you've given me this morning, that we need to be encouraged and to be an encouragement to those around us. I ask, Father, that you would allow your Spirit to continue to work through our hearts and through our minds to help us to see what it is that we need to change in our own lives, that we would draw closer to you through this process. We thank you, Jesus, and we pray in your holy name. Amen. I thank you all for coming out this morning. Have a great afternoon.